Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It's been a wet, early and cooler day. Even last night and even early this morning, I was checking the forecast. And this morning, at 7 o'clock this morning, the forecast, Alexa and weather.com were telling me a high of 74 today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's 50-something right now, and that's as warm as it's been all day. But I checked, just for the heck of it, I checked before I came in to do the show, and the weather then said, it's 53 degrees with a high of 68. Now, 68 inside, maybe, but not outside. Yeah. But it's been one of those just sort of gray, cool, damp days. Hope everybody doing well. It's not a gray day for Auburn basketball after a big win last night up in Nashville, as the Tigers, man, roared to a 15-0 lead. Saw Vandy come all the way back and take a 3-point lead before Auburn then had another surge in the second half and won the game going away 80-68.
Yeah, big win on the road. Tough place to play, like we've talked about, Bill. You know, it's a weird gym, the setup. Usually they're tough at home, and they have been this year. They've had a couple of big wins.
That was just their second loss of the season at home.
Yeah.
They'd beaten Tennessee and Kentucky.
Yes.
There in Memorial Gym.
For sure. And then now everybody's getting ready for the big one on Saturday.
The biggest ever between Auburn and Alabama basketball, and I will say, as far as rankings are concerned, it is the highest ranked matchup ever between these two schools, period.
Yeah, I saw last night on the television they were talking about that. Even football's never been 1-2 going into the Iron Bowl. Should be exciting.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. So, we'll talk more about that, but right now, let me welcome you in. It is The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Dan has Troy women's basketball, so Coach Don Dunn's in. Jason Caldwell of Auburn Undercover is just now getting into the studio, and Drew is at the controls. And since yesterday's ball game was on the road in a 6 o'clock game, our regular Tuesday afternoon first hour guest, the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, was preparing for the broadcast of that big win last night, so he couldn't be with us yesterday, but kind enough to join us here at the outset of the Wednesday Drive. Andy, big, big win last night. Good to have you with us.
Glad to be with you, Bill. Yeah, we were actually on the bus going from the team hotel to Memorial Gym when I was supposed to be on with you guys last evening. I'm not sure that would have been the best thing to do.
So, no, it's great to have you on after that big win last night. Yeah. That was really a must win last night. You did not want to, go into Tuscaloosa on a 2-game losing streak.
Well, and you know, you come off of a game where you were beaten at both ends of the floor against Florida on Saturday. I think the most surprising thing is that it happened at Neville Arena.
Right.
That surprised me. Not that Florida played well. Florida's the number 4 team in the country right now. And then you go to Vanderbilt, and in years past, that's just been a very tough place for a lot of teams to play, including Auburn. And you get off to a 15-0 lead in the blink of an eye, and Denver Jones just has a wonderful first half of basketball. And then Vandy starts whittling away at that lead and gets a 3 by Tyler Nickel, at the end of the first half, and it's a 2-point game at halftime. And at that point, you know this is going to be back and forth. And as you mentioned, Bill, Vandy actually took a lead, a three-point lead, at the 16:57 mark of the second half, and Memorial Gymnasium was loud with his Vandy fans at that point.
Oh, they had the momentum.
And that's when, yeah, and that's when Chaney Johnson took the game over.
He really did.
The second half was just tremendous. Bill, we tape Coach Pearl's TV show on Thursday mornings. And we were getting set up last Thursday for the show, to tape the show with Coach Pearl. And Chaney Johnson and assistant coach Ira Bowman and graduate assistant Brian Smith were on the floor until the time we started taping with Coach Pearl. And I don't know how many of the moves that I saw him make last night, he was working on those specific moves last Thursday with the coaches, one-on-one, one-on-two, just working and work. And, I mean, it was not a lighthearted workout either. I mean, he was really getting after it. And different places on the floor, free throws, threes, a variety of moves in and around the lane. And last night, he went on a personal 9-0 run.
He was unstoppable for a while. I mean, absolutely.
That's exactly right. He did not miss a shot in the second half. He missed one shot on the night, and that was a three-point attempt.
You know,
with Denver's start and then what Chaney did in the second half, that was enough to pull away from that win last night against Vanderbilt.
Oh, no question. And Jason, you were about to jump in.
I think at halftime I put a note up and I said, look, there's certain times you see Chaney – sometimes can struggle with really big, long teams. But where he's really good is when it's a similar size guy, because he is so athletic and he's so physical. Yep. Like, this is his game. And they started getting him the basketball. And you could see it, like, after two of those possessions, you could see, okay, just getting the basketball, because he has a mismatch and he was ultra confident. And so it was fun to watch a guy like that, because we've heard it for 2 years going, look, that's the hardest working guy on the team.
That's the best athlete on the
team. That's the hardest working guy on the team.
And he is. I don't know how many times, every time I go over and get the chance to go to a Bruce press conference, if there is a basketball bouncing on the court, it's Chaney. I mean, Chaney is out there constantly working and working and working.
Well, it pays off for him. And you know, what was interesting about his performance last night, in spite of the fact that Vandy is not big on the inside, and I think Auburn down the stretch of that game took advantage.
Oh, they did, because they were down. But they were down 10 or 11 in rebounds. Yeah. You know, before that run.
But Chaney didn't just get to the basket. I mean, we saw him with mid-range shots.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him just inside the free throw line. We saw him down the right side of the lane. We saw him down the left side of the lane. It wasn't all at the basket. He showed some of his range and some of his moves in last night's ball game. And Jason, you're right. I mean, he had the hot hand. He had his confidence last night, and Auburn was smart to get him the ball time and time again with the game on the line.
Yeah.
In last night's ball game. Now, it will be different when Auburn goes to Alabama this Saturday, just from a simple size standpoint, because Jaron Stevenson is 6'11", Clifford Omori is 6'11". They're big. Grant Nelson is 6'11".
Correct.
They're free, as a matter of fact. So it will be a different front line that Auburn faces this Saturday than it saw last night in Nashville.
Yeah, and very different team, obviously, too. I mean, Vanderbilt's, they only made three, and one of those was the last play of the first half and the first play of the second half. They only made one other the rest of the game. They're really a team that plays – a different style than you obviously would think they would because of their size. They're really physical. I mean,
they are.
McLaughlin, for a while, I was like, is that Chester McLaughlin out there? I thought he was like defensive tackle for a while. I mean, he was knocking guys around. Alabama is going to be – now they'll rebound well, but it's a lot of offensive rebound, a lot of long – but it is, hey, get the ball up, get it up from the perimeter, and they made a bunch of them last night. It's going to be a very different type of game.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best offense in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, they're averaging 90.5 points a ball game. They've gone over 100 points 17 times since the start of last season. I mean, this is a high-powered offense. Inside, outside, it doesn't matter. And their bigs can shoot the three. Stevenson,
right.
has 15 threes. He had a career high 22 last night at Texas, including 3 of 4 from three in last night's ball game. Actually, 4 of 5 from three in last night's game. We know what Nelson can do, and Nelson can score anywhere on the floor. Omori is a true post player, doesn't have a three-point attempt. But everybody else on the floor, and then you bring LeBaron Phylan and Aiden Holloway off the bench, and they all shoot the three, and they shoot it very, very well. And they will try to run Auburn out of the gym on Saturday. What gives? Because Auburn's defense is holding opponents to under 68 points a game, and Alabama's offense is averaging 90.5 points per game. And we know that it will be a crazy, crazy atmosphere at Coleman Coliseum on Saturday.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, Andy, I mentioned this to Don as Jason was coming in. I mean, sure, some fans may not feel like this is, but I'm pretty darn sure there has never been a matchup of as highly ranked Auburn versus Alabama, period. I remember 3 versus 4 in football. I remember 1 versus, you know, there's been like a 1-4, one, you know, but I don't think there's ever been a 1 versus 2. And as a matter of fact, you've got, depending on the polls, you got 1 versus 1.
I'm not sure there's ever been a 1 versus 2 in SEC basketball.
There has not. There has not. But I'm talking about across all sports for Auburn and Alabama to be playing against each other, never this highly rated.
Yes. as if we needed to hype this game up
anymore.
Kidding.
you know what?
The first 1 versus 2 in the Auburn-Alabama series. It's the first 1 versus 2 in SEC basketball. That surprises me just a little bit. But, oh, by the way, they come back here to close the regular season.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing about this. I talked to Philip Marshall earlier. We're talking about in a culture for us that is football-centric. You think about everything in terms of football. Mm-hmm. We dealt with that a long time with baseball, where you lose a baseball game and it's 16-5, and you go, look, it's just one baseball game.
Right.
You know you have at least one more of these. It is not the Iron Bowl, where it's one game, and you go, hey, this is it. You know you got at least one more of these, and there may be 4 of them before it's over with.
And that, Andy, is why I feel Auburn should be looser this time. The pressure is more on Alabama because it's their home game here at this point. Auburn's win last night was, I think, extremely big for them mentally. I mean, they're going to go in and play. I expect both teams to play as hard as they can. But I think there's a little more pressure on Alabama right now than there is Auburn just because this is Bama's home game.
It's interesting that both of these teams are undefeated on the road in the
right.
SEC. Yep. Both teams' losses have come at home. Auburn to Florida and Alabama to Ole Miss on this season. And both times they lost in dominating fashion in both of those ballgames. But boy, these two teams have been just lights out on the road, and they've started to separate themselves from the rest of the league right now. We don't need to hype this game up anymore. If this was a couple 5-5 teams in the league, it wouldn't matter. But the fact that both of these teams are 10-1, it's Auburn number 1 in the AP poll, Alabama number 1 in the coaches poll, they're number 2 in the other poll. Goodness gracious.
And as
Jason talking about, these teams close the regular season. What's going to be on the line when Alabama comes in here to wrap up the regular season in early March?
Perhaps the number 1 overall.
I think you still may be 1-2 by the time it turns around. Because
it very well could. It could decide a regular season SEC championship.
Yep.
It could decide the number 1 seed at the SEC tournament. And you're exactly right, Jason. This could be the first of 4 times that these teams meet. Because the SEC tournament's a possibility, and if it comes down to the NCAA tournament, that may be in the final 4.
Yeah, that could be very, very deep.
Matt Norlander, who does a really good job for us at CBS, national guy, said, hey, I think this could happen 4 times. I really wanted to tweet about it, like, this state can't handle that. This state cannot handle 4 of
these
games.
Some of us would have a tough time handling
but
it.
You know what, though, guys? I mean, you look at this entire state right now, and not just Auburn and Alabama. But what Samford's doing, what Jacksonville State's doing, what Alabama Huntsville's doing, I mean, there's no better state in the country for college basketball across all the divisions than what Alabama is producing, the state of Alabama is producing right now.
Yeah, I heard Kevin Skarbinski say this yesterday.
When would we have ever thought to say that?
No, you're absolutely right. But, yeah, I heard Scarbo yesterday say that the state of Alabama has five teams leading their conference and four others that are within two games of first place in their conference. Right. There's no other state. There's no other state in the nation that has more than three teams leading a conference.
Troy and South Alabama in there. I mean, it's an incredible year for the state for basketball. It's one to be treasured right now.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Matt did a thing, intra-conference. So, in the same conference, one versus two. The last time it happened was Kansas-Oklahoma in 2016. The last time it happened before that was Wisconsin-Ohio State in 2007. Before that, 1998. So Duke-North Carolina has been 1-2. A few of those, a couple of them were St. John's-Georgetown in 85.
Oh, yeah.
They split those. And you've had North Carolina-Georgia Tech. But you've had a few of those. But that's it. It's never happened in the Southeastern Conference. And it's only happened twice in almost the last 30 years.
I get to call that game on Saturday. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that. I know that the atmosphere is going to be crazy. I cannot wait to put those headsets on and call that game Saturday, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, no question. I mean, just and folks, you know, even for the folks that have been able to get tickets on the road, they're getting a little expensive in Tuscaloosa now, for this one.
This will be the taste of Neville Arena. It'll be crazy.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, back to Auburn for a couple of moments. Just what we were talking about early, the fact that Denver, after being blanked in the Florida game, comes out and got off to such a great start and finished with 21 last night, unbelievable shooting, and then Chaney stepping up with 20 last night. That's one of the reasons this Auburn team is so difficult, so good, is because they've got so many different weapons. You see a player or two, you know, Chad goes scoreless last night, and my goodness, Bruce had sort of warned us that he was really, really banged up, but I think a lot of people thought, yeah, we'll see, and then he doesn't start, and you can see he's nowhere near 100%. But, I mean, different players not having great nights, this team can still win and win convincingly.
Chad Baker-Mazar did not score last night. He played 28 minutes, had two rebounds. Miles Kelly, who led Auburn in the Florida game, scored 3 points last night, got into early foul trouble. But Denver Jones was, I think, challenged by Stephen Pearl after that Florida game. And I think the challenge was, you're a scorer. Quit looking to get the assist too much. You need to be looking to be a scorer. And, buddy, he took that to heart in last night's ballgame. When we talked about the work ethic of Chaney Johnson. And that paid off for Auburn last night. And although Janai didn't have a great game down the stretch, I thought Auburn finally started taking advantage of its size in the second half. With what Chaney did, and certainly with what Janai did, and even Dylan at times, getting to the rim and using his athleticism. It will be tougher to do that because Alabama is so much bigger and better. I mean, this is the number two team in the AP poll, the number one team in the coaches poll, and Auburn is the other. So, goodness gracious.
Yeah,
Saturday could be, my goodness.
And one thing to me, maybe the most important thing you think about, football, and you always go turnovers. You immediately jump to turnovers and go, how does that thing?
That could be really big Saturday.
But I think more important for this one is how the game is called, because Alabama is fourth nationally in free throw attempts, 26.5. And they don't play inside-out basketball. They drive to the basket. And we were talking about this last week. Driving to the basket teams get more foul calls than back to the basket teams do. Auburn doesn't shoot a ton of free throws, even though they play in the paint more than just about anybody.
But it's entry, but it's entry passes into the paint and then moves usually.
Yeah, driving to the basket, out Mark Sears, those guys. Can Auburn avoid getting those types of fouls? And, hey, in this one, you're going to have to avoid the 70-foot foul away from the basket because you're going to get plenty of the ones, other ones. You're going to have to avoid those ticky-tack ones away from the basket.
Back to turnovers for a minute. If there's a stat that favors Auburn, going into this game, it may be that turnover margin. Auburn, 9.3 turnovers a game and plus 2.9 in turnover margin. Alabama averages over almost 13.5 turnovers a game and is minus 3 in the turnover margin. That could be a factor. It could be a factor in this one on Saturday. But Alabama, listen, at times it seems they really are too worried about the turnovers because they can score and score so quickly. And, you know, I mean, they scoring over 100 is really not a big deal to Alabama. It's a big deal for the rest of the country, not this Alabama team, that's for sure.
No kidding. Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, with us. Andy, can you hang with us for a little while?
Absolutely.
All right, good. We'll get to our first break. I know we're running a little behind, but it's great to have Andy with us. Jason Caldwell also in the studio, along with Bill and Coach Don Dunn. We're right back here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive, ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Yeah, we're holding your calls for a little while we've got the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, on with us here on The Drive hotline. And Jason Caldwell, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio along with Bill. Drew at the controls. And, yes, no question, the game. I mean, it is the game coming up on Saturday. But it's also the start of baseball season this weekend. We were just wondering, Andy, what's your schedule with the season opening baseball series wrapped around basketball this weekend?
Brad and John Cohen have the season opener on Friday. Brad and Greg Olson have the game Saturday, and I will be in with Brad on Sunday.
All right.
And then I'll be doing the game Tuesday against Troy. Basketball next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have basketball the second weekend, Friday and Sunday, wrapped around that home basketball game. So lots of baseball coming up. Just was over at the ballpark, as a matter of fact. And they will be working feverishly.
I'll say you didn't hear air compressors, saws.
Goodness, it's amazing. They're working, seriously. I
try to tell people, I went over there early last week, and there were probably 150 people with vests and hard hats on working throughout the state.
A lot of, and this before the rain, there was a lot of dust.
Yes.
Awful lot of dust. Yeah. Yeah, so that is great that they're doing that. I think rightfully so, Andy. A lot of excitement about this baseball season after a disappointing year last year.
Yeah, it was. But Auburn has the number 3 recruiting class that all came to Auburn. They didn't lose a player to the Major League Baseball draft, and we've talked about this. I don't remember that ever happening.
Mm-hmm.
In my time covering Auburn baseball, and a top 5 portal class,
right,
for Auburn, and we'll see one of those portal guys on Friday in Cade Fisher.
Yep.
Who transferred in, lefty out of Florida. Here's a little side story on Cade, and Auburn I think is really excited about what he brings to Auburn from the left side. His mother played basketball at Tennessee Tech and was a really good player at Tennessee Tech, and when Cade came through on his official visit, his mom was unable to come. So she came back a week or two later, and I was at the arena the day that she was just kind of getting a tour of the athletics part of the campus and had a chance to meet her, and we got to talking. She played basketball at Tennessee Tech. She was on the Tennessee Tech that in the 90-91 season beat Auburn in Las Vegas and then lost to Auburn in the first round of the NCAA tournament here at Beard Eaves Coliseum. That was Auburn's last Final Four team. And so I've called his mother playing basketball, and I'll get to call Cade playing baseball at Auburn at some point.
Small world. That tells you how long some of us have been working.
Yeah, Andy, you're talking about but like newcomers, though. You look and go the entire weekend rotation.
Yep,
exactly.
Is all new. I mean, you go Sam Dutton on Saturday, LSU transfer. And it's true freshman, right, Christian Chatterton on Sunday. So all new guys on a weekend rotation.
And I do you remember that happening anytime lately?
I did not have a returner getting a start. No, I mean you might have one guy, and you know, we've seen the last few years. You might have a true freshman, but
yeah,
you know, there weren't really
recall three guys who weren't even on the roster last year.
There weren't really a ton of transfer guys. You've always, maybe a junior college guy might have been thrown into the mix, but no, normally it was a guy that had pitched in the middle relief or a Tuesday night guy the year before.
Yeah, you hope you maybe had a starter, one starter back from last year, but yeah, this is it's definitely something. And they're going to, and not the only newcomers that you're going to see on the field are the guys on the mound either.
No, there's going to be a lot of those guys when you think about, you know, obviously, I think you're talking about from an outfield perspective. You'll probably see
two new faces
out there. Bristol Carter's going to be in the lineup. He's been really good.
Is he going to be at the top?
He's Carolina transfer. I would think, Andy, don't you think he's probably going to be your leadoff guy to start this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Buck Terrell's going to be in there somewhere. Yep. He could be playing some right field for Auburn. They like what this true freshman, highly talented true freshman, doing.
Big physical.
Auburn's got some guys that remind me of LSU and Mississippi State guys.
Oh, we were just talking about it in the break.
The look of this team is completely different than we've seen in years past. Here's the guy that I'm most excited to see this year, and you may know where I'm going here, JC, and that's Eric Guevara.
Yep.
A healthy Eric Guevara, who at 500 in the fall was going to be Auburn's everyday third baseman last year until the injury, the ACL, came back incredibly early and played, I don't even know what percent he played at last year.
He was probably
– it was amazing that he played at all.
It was probably very similar to what we've seen Jani Broom for the past 3 weeks, probably 65%, something like that. But the difference is Broom was a guy that had played a ton. He was a true freshman.
Yeah.
Who wasn't healthy, missed all the fall. And I think the one thing about him, even though he wasn't healthy and had not gotten at bats, you could see it. Like he had some really good at bats, but you could tell just not quite there yet. And I think he's a guy that obviously the way he did in the fall, he was pretty good.
Now, yeah. So I look forward to seeing what he does in an Auburn uniform and right off the bat, as a matter of fact. There's a lot to be excited about with this ball club. And Ike Irish, I think, is much better as a defensive catcher. We know what he can do at the plate.
Bigger. Mm-hmm. He's bigger and stronger, too.
Yeah, I've been expecting more power to come as he matures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's a lot of potential and a lot of promise with this ball club. And we're all excited that it starts Friday at 6. 5:45 the broadcast on Wings on Friday. Saturday, the game will be on ESPN 106.7 at 6. And then Sunday, we'll be back on Wings with the finale of the series at 1 o'clock against a good Holy Cross team that is a conference champ and expected to do very, very well this coming season.
Yep, looking forward to a big crowd. Folks probably have to move folks out of my seat by the time we get there. After the show on Valentine's night, but really looking, man, I can't wait to get over there and just feel what it's like to be where we've been, but with so much different around us.
Different sound, different wind. It's going to have a complete, because it's like the addition has made it a different stadium.
It's going to be, just in the little time I've been able to stick my head in there, it feels like, my seats and everything have been transported to a completely different place.
Yes.
The feel around everything is just going to be phenomenal. Just can't wait. Really excited about it. And I think everybody who, cares anything at all about baseball is really, really jacked up about this.
I was glad to see that softball get up to such a good start last week.
No
with
kidding.
The Navos and their first weekend.
Bombing.
They're back in action tomorrow down in Clearwater, Florida. Competition will be better for Auburn. They get Clemson tomorrow down in Clearwater, Florida. They're on the road the next two weekends, as a matter of fact, because both Auburn's baseball and softball teams will play at Toyota Field this year.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend, softball plays at a tournament at Toyota Field, and Auburn will play, about a week or two later?
Yep.
On the way, for me, it's on the way to the SEC baseball tournament or basketball tournament. So
that's good.
I was glad to see that team play so well last weekend and some pretty clutch performances for that softball team.
Walk-offs, and am I imagining that Auburn hit about a quarter of as many home runs over the weekend as they did last year?
I think I looked, and last year it was 32, and they've already got 11, something like that, in five games. I think that
was insane. Nice to see, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was. And you know what? People think about it, and we talked about this before, but because I kind of glanced at the baseball schedule, and you look and you go, Vandy, you're at Kentucky, who was a College World Series team last year, and then you return home, and you get like the difficulty. You go, there is nothing that even compares to what this Auburn softball team has coming.
Yeah, the only thing it compares is what some basketball teams
but
you're right.
You think about it, like, okay, they got Clemson and Oklahoma State, a few of those teams this week, but to start SEC play, you're at Mississippi State, who's top 20 right now. They got then you're Texas A&M at home, who's 6 or 7. Then you're at Texas, who's 1 or 2, depending on what poll it is. Next weekend is Florida, which is the other 1 or 2. Your first 4 weekends are against the number 1-2 team, another top 10, and another top 20. So it's going to be a mighty challenge for this team. They're swinging it well. This weekend will be, can you find somebody that gives you an ace or two in the circle? That's going to be key.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. It is a fun time. Andy, again, we always appreciate you being able to spend a little time with us. Sort of give us the rundown of what's on tap there on the network.
Talking Tigers podcast this week is with our friend Larry Blakeney, who will be going in December in the College Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Troy's all-time winningest coach, a former Auburn quarterback. I didn't realize this until I started digging a little bit on Larry. He was Auburn's first sophomore to start under Shug Jordan.
That's right. Yep.
Sophomore quarterback. How about that? Let me put it that way. And then, of course, coached under Pat Dye in the 80s, and then went on and is a Hall of Fame coach at Troy. That's the Talking Tigers podcast this week. Coming up on Monday, we look back at that 1999 Auburn men's basketball team that won at the first conference championship at Auburn in the regular season, I believe since 1960. Mm-hmm. Bryant Smith is a graduate assistant on this year's squad and was one of the absolute studs on that 99 team. He looks back on two great, among other things, two of the greatest dunks in Auburn history. The Chris Porter rebound jam off of a miss by Bryant.
The cover
and then
of Sports
his
Illustrated.
Reverse alley-oop from Doc Robinson in the Ole Miss game. And, of course, we all got a reminder of that when we saw Tahad hit Ja'Kai, and then later when we saw Denver hit Dylan with reverse alley-oops. So Bryant is up. Of course, we've got Tiger Talk tomorrow night at 6 out at Avamhauer's Victory Grill. Bruce Pearl will be with us. Rhett Hobart will join us with athletics, and he's going to talk about all of the different new aspects of Plainsman Park. And so we look forward to that. And then, of course, Friday, Auburn baseball against Holy Cross at 6. Brad and John Cohen, Auburn's athletic director, will have the call at 5:45. And then Saturday, it's Auburn basketball at Alabama, number 1 versus number 2. Randall and Jacob Hillman will be joining me at Coleman Coliseum, and our broadcast begins at 2:30. And don't forget Auburn women's basketball on the road tomorrow night at Tennessee. There you are.
Yeah.
And you can hear every one of these games on the Auburn Network family of stations.
Absolutely right here. And Andy, so excited for you to be able to be a part of the history on Saturday. Yep. Really looking forward to that, man. It's
looking forward to this broadcast, looking forward to what this game brings for Saturday. And then we'll get ready to come home for a couple more ball games with Arkansas in town next Wednesday, and then Georgia next Saturday. So looking forward to all of it.
Yep. Thanks again, Andy. Really appreciate you spending a little time with us here this afternoon.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one. War Eagle.
Thanks, Andy.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us, usually with us on Tuesdays, but since they played last night at 6 o'clock, glad he could join us here early on in the Wednesday show. Jason Caldwell with us for the rest of this hour. We'll open up the phone lines. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390. The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number is 334-564-1840. We'll get to our break. Back with your phone calls here on the Wednesday Drive.
1067.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, Drew at the controls, and let's head to the Drive hotline. And Tex is up first. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Great.
Good. Jason, thanks for that great article.
Well, which one?
No, you just done one. No. Yeah.
Just you've only done one. Though.
Yeah.
No.
I got more coming.
I'm getting old. I'm talking about that I remember I read today.
I got you. I wrote one on who?
Baseball.
Yeah. I'm kind of trying to remember who it was. Derek Fabian today.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Yeah. Trying to do one a week. I'll have tomorrow. I have my kind of projection on what I think maybe lineup might look like. But I think we're going to see multiple lineups this weekend. But kind of have that. And we get a tour of the new facilities tomorrow. And all those things. So hoping to have a video kind of montage from that to let people kind of get an inside look at that sometime tomorrow or Friday. So,
is construction complete?
The construction itself, like the actual buildings, those things are done. Now it's the finishing touches, the fine, like where somebody said somebody's going to be screwing light bulbs in, and
I wonder if there may be a corner or a place where they're the paint not be, there may not be a second coat or something.
I think they tried to get all those things done Monday, Tuesday,
because
the rain was coming. But they were still doing some welding and some things like that, trying to make sure railings were set. So
there were so many people still out there.
There's going to be,
I guess it was
folks.
Monday.
Yeah.
So I was surprised.
Yeah. So I think, it'll be a full bore until Friday at 5:30 probably.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I sense a great deal of excitement in Andy's voice. Part of that may be carryover from last night. I thought the basketball team played extremely well, extremely physical. What I thought was very interesting, they grabbed Caldwell and they grabbed Caldwell and got him to the free throw line. And when he got on the free throw line, he made both of them, and they didn't grab him anymore. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because you're always a victim of your own success. And hey, and I try to tell people, look, it's okay to be critical. You can go, hey, that guy didn't play very well. It's okay. Yep. You're not taking a shot at somebody when you say that. You're going, look, he didn't mm-hmm. play very well. As a team, you look at what you do and you go, look, you go to Vandy, they had one loss at home.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to play.
Yep.
That's a physical basketball team. And Auburn, I mean, here's the thing. If you had gone out and gone up 15-0 and had won by 25, you go, man, he played great. To do what they did to rebound it.
I think it's more meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the second half, the first 5 minutes of the second half was really important.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaney Johnson was huge. They showed a lot of care. They showed what an old basketball team is supposed to be. And we were talking about this earlier that I text. I don't know if you agree, but I was like, I think there's people that have gotten confused. And it's hard because you look at this Auburn basketball team and you don't see a bunch of lottery picks. That doesn't mean it's not a really good basketball team, but I think for people, sometimes you attach really good to how individually talented somebody is.
Mm-hmm.
And those are separate things. 2004 Auburn football team was really good because they were really talented too. Doesn't mean they were greater than other teams, but they had a lot of top flight talent. I think in college basketball right now, the most talented teams aren't the best teams. It's the teams that have
aren't necessarily.
Older,
you're
older,
right.
Older, experienced guys.
I'm watching Alabama Texas last night.
Yeah,
Texas has got some talent.
Yeah,
Texas really has. They should. I mean, you look at that team and you don't think that's a 4-8 SEC team.
Yeah, I mean, you look the teams with lottery picks in this league right now. Do you think about it? Texas has one.
Georgia,
South Carolina probably has one. That's probably three of the worst teams in this league. Mm-hmm. Arkansas may have one too.
That's true.
It's about cohesiveness and the things you do together.
Well, I'll say this. So during Cindy and I's era, by the way, Bill, she said to tell everybody hello, but she didn't want to go on the radio today.
Oh, well. I appreciate that she has, at least.
She got too much fan mail after the last time.
I can believe it.
So I can too, actually. But so I went to school with Charles Barkley, Chuck Person, and Chris Morris, all on the same basketball team. Go back and look at how many SEC titles and how many NCAA Final Eights or Final Fours they made. And all four of those played in the NBA. All three of those played in the NBA.
Yeah, they made one Elite Eight on that 86 team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what I like about them is that if we sometimes I think we play a little lazy or nonchalant, and people are starting to overplay us on the picks so that they can get to the ball. But when we take care of the ball, we don't put a team on the floor that has less than four scores. Not very often.
Not often. You're right.
So they have to defend. And when you have to defend, I think, especially as many people as Auburn plays, deep into the game, the tireder your legs get.
I think it shows up from Auburn's defense. If you look at the teams, late in games, teams aren't scoring as many points. Now, Florida had kind of a big lead and some of those things, but even when you put Chris Moore in the game, you look at it and go, look, he's not going to score a bunch.
He scored the first bucket of his first and second halves last night.
He works guys so hard defensively, and he'll do the thing that in past years, you go, man, you put him on the floor, and sometimes it's tough. Well, now this team has enough offense that you can play him minutes, and you feel like you can still score because the other guy's on the court.
Yep. Tex, we got to run. We're up against a break.
All right.
We do need to get to that final break of hour number one, final segment with Jason Caldwell. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive, ESPN 106.7, and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Man, time has flown this first hour. We just got a couple of minutes left. Want to talk a little football while we have Jason here with us. And Don mentioning that, yes, something we haven't talked to Jason about, Auburn keeping DJ Durkin on as defensive coordinator. And you had a stat I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, I think it's the first time
in seven years.
That Auburn will have the same coordinators back for a second year.
That's crazy to think about, although, as you were saying here during the break, it's not that unusual most places.
Anywhere now, because you look and you go, I mean, we just talked about DJ Durkin getting bumped up to, what, $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. And it's not even the highest paid assistant coach. I mean, Penn State gave, Ohio State
defensive coordinator more.
And here's the thing you start looking at. You're going, like, you're already making $1.5 or so. If you lose the guy to go get a guy, you're probably going to have to bump somebody else up.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well pay the guy you got.
Especially when things are going well.
And you go, hey, look, let's keep him. And here's the other part of this. It becomes the part you don't think about. You haven't made portal window. If you lose a coordinator, then all of a sudden, how many guys you go, well, man, I like that guy.
How many guys liked playing for him are going to follow?
I'm going to go somewhere else. It's part of it, too. It's crazy to think about. But, I mean, like you think about it, like Ryan Day. Ryan Day just got bumped up to $12 million. His buyout is $11.5 a year. It doesn't go down. Now, if he were to leave on his own.
And it's crazy because, coming down the stretch of the season, there were people wondering, was he going to be here next year?
No 12-team playoff. He literally could have been on a hot seat. He lost like five games.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of that is Chip Kelly, if the season ends with a loss to Michigan, not only does that guy not – he may not have a job at Ohio State with all that talent. Got to go on a run in the playoffs. He gets $5 or $6 million a year to be a coordinator in the NFL. Both of those guys, all because of the 12-team playoff, changed everything about both of them in just a matter of a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of it now. Hey, we thought, well, man, NIL and all these things, well, it may knock some of these salaries down. No, it's not. They're going, you know what? We're paying them. We have to pay them too. And it's blowing up even more. We're going to have a $20 million coach. And I think it's going to happen. I really do.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely
right. I mean, hey,
you got
$20 million wide receivers in the NFL and 20 – $400, $600, $700 million baseball players. I don't know.
It's just it's insanity. It's like Monopoly money to me. I mean, it's not real. I know, you know, I can't conceive that kind of actual money. So it's crazy. I mean, it is odd. Here we are, you know, the middle of February, and we're still more than a month away from the start of spring football.
Yeah, no, I kind of like it, and I don't remember when Don and them they would go really early.
Mm-hmm.
You either want to go really early and get it out of the way before spring break. The problem with that is you don't have a ton of time in winter conditioning, the strength and conditioning.
Right.
I think
that's what more coaches want.
With as many young guys as you have on campus, mm-hmm. I think these months in the weight room are
critical.
Extremely mm-hmm. critical to a program. So later start, compress it to 3 weeks and get it done. And then right now it's meeting time, learning the mental side of it, and getting in the weight room. I think that's really valuable when you have a bunch of young kids on campus.
And recruiting time as well.
Yeah, though this entire month of February is dead, you're still recruiting. You know, when you think about dead, it's not dead. It is just dead in terms of visits
right.
on and off campus. Still a lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages, all those things. And, I mean, we're going to have official visits in April, May, and June. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to be
a lot of decisions,
baby.
Absolutely. Yep. And you guys do a great job of keeping up with it all. Jason, let everybody know how they can.
Yep. Check us out, auburnundercover.com. Tons of basketball, but we got softball, baseball, recruiting. A little football as well. So come check us out. And, looking forward to it. Now the busy time really begins.
All right. Thanks again, Jason. Great to have you
thank
in.
Thank you.
See you Valentine's probably over at the ballpark.
Absolutely.
All right. We're back with hour number two. Stick with us.
Don't buy the lie. This is Lee County District Attorney.
It's an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bell and Coach Don Dunn, our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, joining us for the entirety of hour number one, and the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, with us for more than half of hour number one. Now, I've said in the past that, you know, it would probably really be entertaining and interesting to people to hear some of the comments that go on when we're off the air. Not the case, really, from the top of this hour. I mean, this is just a couple of old guys talking.
Yeah, what happens to your body when you get old?
Sometimes we're talking about the kind of things that's like, well, you have to censor that.
Right.
It couldn't be on the radio and stuff like
right.
that. Nothing like that. No, just when you get a couple of old guys.
Age.
Yeah. What was the... the Randy Travis, you know, old men talk about the weather, old women talk about old men.
That's right.
It's like the weather and their the breakdowns of their bodies.
That's right.
And stuff like that. We won't go into that because we don't want to lose you here in hour number two. We'd love for you to join in, as a matter of fact. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. You can text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of The Drive. And as we mentioned, with both Jason Caldwell and Andy Burcham on in hour number one, if you missed any of that, you definitely want to check out the podcast. And you can find them wherever you get your podcasts. Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Obviously, we talked a good bit about last night's big Auburn win. I mean, you look, and I said going in that of the top four teams, I felt like at least one would go down. I was right. I wasn't right about who, but I was right.
Yep.
As Kentucky for the second, they sweep Tennessee.
Yeah,
they went into Knoxville and beat them last night. They jump out to a big lead. It was very similar to the Auburn game.
Yes.
Now it was going on at about the same time, so
right.
I didn't see as much of it. I should have done. Although when I'm watching an Auburn game,
I'm serious
about it, and I don't want two games going on at the same time. But the Tennessee, the Kentucky Tennessee game seemed very similar to me to the Auburn Vandy game, in that Kentucky jumped out to a quick lead, a double digit lead. Tennessee came back, briefly took a 3 or 4 point lead, and then Kentucky came back and won it by double digits. Very similar to what Auburn did last night in Nashville. So Tennessee drops three games off the pace.
Right.
And it's going to be very difficult for them to be a factor.
It's a two-team race right now.
Could be three.
Yeah.
Could be three.
Maybe Florida.
Because Florida, and that's the one I was wondering how Florida would handle its trip to Starkville. And then they have Alec Condon go down early and blew Mississippi State out. Mississippi State, I had, I don't remember if it was my son or somebody else talking to me about Mississippi State. Yeah, it was younger son. They got back from down at Disney World. And he said, and I can't argue, Mississippi State's very good against okay teams.
Right.
Against the better teams, no. They're not. And Florida is one of the better teams. So Florida, I mean, just pounded Mississippi State in Starkville last night. So Florida's still in it, I think, Don.
Yeah, they still got to go to Alabama later.
They go to Alabama, or does Alabama go to Gainesville?
No, they're at Alabama.
All right, but they've got Alabama. Mm-hmm. Look, they've already beaten Auburn and Auburn. But, I mean, they have a game against Alabama, and they have a tiebreaker against Auburn. I mean, what they're hoping is that Auburn and Alabama knock each other off.
Right.
And then somebody, and they lose another game because they'd have the tiebreaker. If you know, if they keep winning and they can get a win over Alabama, and then Auburn and Alabama knock each other off, there's another loss in there for either one. They would have the tiebreaker because they don't play those teams two times, and Auburn and Alabama have to play each other twice. So I mean, I still think Florida is in it. A&M, I guess, I mean, could be sort of the same thing because A&M. You know, Auburn's got A&M just before they got to go to A&M before Alabama comes back to Neville Arena. So, I mean, the teams with three losses are still sort of in the picture. It's going to be tough for them, but I think Tennessee's out of the championship picture with that loss last night.
I think so,
to Kentucky.
Too, unless something just crazy happens. But
So the top three teams. And your top three nationally ranked teams, number one, two, and four, Auburn, Alabama, and Florida, all won and fairly comfortably last night. The other game, Georgia. I mean, Georgia had a double digit lead over A&M, and A&M came back and won. So I mean, tonight you've got a couple of matchups. Number 19, Ole Miss is at South Carolina. South Carolina still looking for their first SEC win, and they played pretty well. They've been competitive in a lot of ball games, but they just haven't been able to get an SEC win. And then Oklahoma is at number 21, Missouri. Those are the ball games tonight. Both of those on the SEC Network. The Ole Miss Carolina game, the early game, followed by Oklahoma and Missouri. 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you, your thoughts on last night, or if you want to go ahead and look ahead now to the matchup this Saturday that, as we said, will be the most highly ranked matchup ever between Auburn and Alabama. How about that? I mean, that's something. I mean, because there have been some very big ball games. But this is the first time that you've seen a 1-2 or a 1-1, if you will, in this series. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And let's get to it. And Brett is up first. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. Florida obviously is still in it. I think their next four games are like South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma, and Georgia.
Yeah. Meantime, Auburn and Alabama have got. I think Alabama's every. I think every one of the games they have left is against a team that's currently ranked.
Yeah, but then again, they finish up the season with A&M at home, Alabama away, and Ole Miss at home. So you know, it's going to be tough for them to go undefeated the rest of the way. So basically, they're going to have to want Alabama and Auburn to not only split, but lose
at least another ball game. You're right. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They've still got a shot, but I mean, it's going to be difficult for anybody to try to make up two games in this conference with as tough as every team is.
Oh, no doubt. Tell you what, I don't know how you feel about it, but unless Mazzara can get healthy and Broome, you know, do a little better, it's going to be awful tough to win over there either way. But
no question.
We got to have them being able to produce more than they have.
Yeah, Chad especially is so critical to the Auburn defense, and the last two games, it hasn't been the Chad Baker Mazzara, the CBM we're used to seeing, closing out on 3-point shooters, and boy, that's something you've got to do against Alabama.
Yeah, I heard somebody on the show before say Mazzara, you know, yeah, he didn't score much, but his defense, this, that, and the other. But last night, don't get me wrong, I know he was hurt, and I congratulate him on just being out there playing, but he pretty much got work from a defensive end last night.
Yeah, it's really been a struggle for him. I mean, I don't even know all the injuries that he has, and that's something that Bruce had talked about Monday, that they don't want to really broadcast and advertise that, but he's really beat up. And yes, I mean, he's not nearly as quick as he had been.
Yeah.
So that's a big factor. And then, you know, I'd almost forgotten about Janai's shoulder injury, and I was thinking about that last night. That's obviously a factor too. I mean, he had another ball game last night. That's the fourth time in six games that he's missed at least 10 shots. And that's something that is very, you know, unlike Janai to be shooting low percentages, because so many of his shots come, you know, within 6 feet of the basket.
Yeah, especially, golly dang, at the end of the game last night, he missed a couple.
Oh, looked like
point just blank.
Absolutely.
It was kind of hard to believe. But anyway, who knows? You know, I'm thinking it might be, maybe he's got Mazzara might have like a bruise on his back from the falls he took against Florida, because I don't see that he can't run and jump. Does it look that way to you?
No, I mean, at times when he was handling the ball a couple of times last night, he looked, you know, it looked like he still had the quickness, but we just haven't seen him. It's where I've noticed it more. I mean, obviously you notice it when he misses a bunch of shots, but anybody can have an off night shooting, but I've noticed it more defensively with him.
Me too. Well, all right. Y'all have a great evening.
All right, Brett. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. And but again, to think that you went on the road and beat a nationally ranked team that had only lost one game at home last night by 12 points, and they scored the last basket of the game to cut it to 12. When you have your second leading scorer blanked, or I guess maybe he was your third leading scorer, and your second leading scorer goes one for from the floor. He hit a three in the first half, and that's all Miles got last night. So those two guys combined for 3 points, and you still won by 12.
Yeah, big
in
win.
Nashville.
Yeah, like we talked early in the show, and it's so hard to win there. That gym is crazy. If you've never been there, it's a nut.
It's
almost like playing in a church.
It's like, you know, it's like if you go to the carnival and you go into one of the mirror things.
Then all you need,
because it's got such crazy different angles and throughout.
Even up in the
corners. Backdrop is crazy.
The floor
level. They've got little scoreboards just sort
everywhere.
Of thrown up here and there.
All they need is a stage at one end. It'd be like junior high.
But junior high, you didn't fall off the court.
No, you fell onto the stage.
You didn't,
I don't know how
you didn't have people sitting below the court level.
To play there.
Well, there's a decent amount of room, at least on
enlarged,
the sides.
It used to not be that.
No, you're right. It didn't used to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
a weird place.
It's unique.
And the coaches are all the way on the sideline. It's
all the way at the end.
They let them come down now. They
I noticed Bruce up the side a couple of times.
Yeah, they
last
didn't let
night.
Them used to come that far.
No, you're right. Crazy. They used to have to stay there at the ends. but yeah, big win for Auburn last night. And yeah, the matchup Saturday, and we were looking at it a while ago. And Auburn's got six players averaging double figures.
Yep.
Alabama's got five and a sixth that averages just a hair under 10. Yeah. So, I mean, like Jason said, it is the number one offense efficiency-wise in Auburn and the number one scoring offense in Alabama. And not just in the SEC. I mean, nationally.
Yeah.
These are two outstanding offenses that have so many different players that can go off and score 20 points at any time.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of depth on both teams. I think it helps us that it's a 3 o'clock game. I'm glad it's not an 8 o'clock Saturday night
game.
Oh,
yeah, you're right about that.
You're right, Bill. Anybody can score, double figures on either team, and that's really a blessing to have that. And going this late into the season, big matchup. I mean, it's going to be wild. I'd love to, like you said earlier, how much a ticket, if you can find one, would cost to get in that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, what Alabama's social media is trying to do is make sure they don't sell to Auburn people.
Oh, yeah, because Auburn had a great crowd there last
night. They did. Auburn has had them every single game.
Yes.
It'll be really interesting to see how many. I mean, that's a bigger arena there.
Yeah. They'll get in. Some of them will get in.
But I would say it ain't going to be cheap for you to get in and do that.
My goodness.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts. What are you looking for this Saturday afternoon? Anything, though, you want to talk about sports-wise here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Back to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. My brother brought up something. And then Andy brought it, or actually it was maybe Jason brought it up, and Andy kind of used the stat. I think the key to this game, obviously they've got tall guys down low, but they're not as physical as Florida.
No.
I mean, last night, Janai got whacked across the head, and they didn't call a foul. And I've got a picture of it.
I noticed it when it happened. I yelled something at the TV then.
Yeah, some of it. I think Alabama's more finesse. This is what Nate Oakes does, and I don't quite understand. He's a numbers guy. I'm a numbers guy. Mm-hmm. I understand what he's thinking, but he wants to get a shot up within 10 seconds. So
yes.
Alabama lead is worst in the league in turnovers. Last night they had 17. Okay, but their goal is just to keep going, just go as fast as they can.
Yeah, they're looking at total possessions. They're looking at as many possessions as they can get in the ball game.
But they don't shoot great three. They did last night. They made 17, but they don't normally shoot good threes. How Ole Miss beat them was they slowed the game down, took away their quick shots, because Alabama likes to race down the court and get a layup or get which is high percentage. That's smart, or get a quick three. But to me, that's not a good three. A quick three is not a good three. I mean,
But what they count on a lot of times is those bounce out, and they're athletic enough to be able to get the offensive rebound.
Maybe so, and that's if you don't get back. So the key to the game
is to get back.
If you think about it, they're last in turnovers, but they go down and shoot within 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then most of their turnovers are occurring if they don't get it quick. So if you think about it, if you get them in a half-court set, that's when most of their turnovers are going to happen, I believe. Because if you think about it, the key, that's how Ole Miss was able to do it, is they basically didn't give them any easy ones. Alabama wants easy ones quick and then work and then do whatever. But since they're not high on percentage on three-pointers, I think the key for us is to value our possessions. Get score like Chaney. See, the difference is Chaney is shooting – I think Janai got it in his head because he's injured and because they're whacking him that he is just kind of throwing it up there. In the beginning of the year, he would shoot it. He would put it right in the basket.
Yeah. Now at times he's playing tap to himself. He's almost just pushing it up and seeing if he can get a better, you know, get the rebound and get a better shot.
Exactly, and that's the one he did. He got fouled, and then he got the rebound, and he missed it. He threw up the second one, and it was a terrible shot, but they didn't foul him on that one. Then he got the third one, and he made it. But I think it's in his head. Chaney goes down, and Chaney is getting his shot, the one he wants, and he's practiced it, and he shoots it, and he's putting it dead center in the basket. Janai is kind of going down and just kind of expecting the contact and just throwing it up there. And so I think what we need to do is if we can just get in his head to just get back to his normal. He's not going to be banged around because Alabama's guys are not these brute guys that he's been getting banged on lately. I feel like when he's going against guys that are more finesse is when he does better. But I think we score and then we don't let them run and then take advantage of their turnovers. I think it's the way to beat them. Now, granted, we're going to have the referees in their gym. I mean, they always do home court, no matter what, except for at Auburn. But for the most part, the home team always gets the call. So I think we're going to have a hard struggle. We're going to need to shoot better. But I think when you can have your two of your best guys not score, and then two other guys come through and score a ton, I think that's the difference. When have we ever had all of our guys on at the same time? That's where I think we've been winning these games, but it's like two of our best guys don't even really score. Or one of them has 10 misses. You know what I'm saying? 6 for 16 is terrible. Okay, I'm just be honest. It's good.
From the range that Janai is shooting it. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, he's a 60% shooter, but he's in a slump because
he's down to 50 now on the season, just barely over 50.
Yeah, but he was shooting 60.
Oh, you're right. He was 62, I think.
In the last three games, he's shooting probably 30 because he's just trying to force it up there. And I think that's where he's got to just reel himself back in, worry about getting assists, getting open guys. I feel like the reason we lost Florida was because we kept trying to drive into their big guys, and they were fouling and they weren't calling it. And so I think we were just turning it over instead of shooting threes, which is what we're good at. I mean, we're 37-38% threes. We got three guys over 40%. I mean, and Baker should be at 40%, but he's just in a slump lately. But we've got good shooters. I feel like we were trying to force the twos too much. And I think last night, eventually, that worked out for us where the twos kind of paid off. But that's because they didn't have big guys.
Right.
I feel like this game, I feel like their big guys are not dominating big guys. I think that's where I feel like Chaney, I feel like Dylan, and I feel like Janai, they should be able to be able to be better than what the couple of games they've had. Now Chaney, I feel like he's just his. I've always felt great when if it was the end of the game shot, I almost kind of want Chaney to shoot if it's a two, because he's just dead on. He was 9 for 10. I mean,
it's going to be a little different though. Like Jason was saying, Chaney's going to be going up against guys that are 3 or 4 inches taller than him,
which could
make it a little different. Although he's got the ability to get up. I mean, rise up and get a shot off that isn't going to be blocked, but his vision's going to be impaired a little bit more by the guys from Alabama, I would think.
Yeah, but his physicalness is Alabama doesn't like that. Mark Sears is physical as hell. I mean, he is great. I mean, he drives me crazy, but he's just so physical. He just pushes his way.
They're more physical on the perimeter than they are in the interior.
That's right.
Which is crazy.
That's right. Exactly. So, all right. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Pat. Yeah, I'm really thinking. Rebounding is critical. Yeah. Critical in this ball game. Alabama. I mean, because of the possessions, they really want. They want to take it down, shoot it, and if they miss it, they hope they get the rebound. But if not, they want to then get the ball back, go down and shoot it, and that just possession after possession after possession. Yeah. I mean, Alabama is not statistically as good a three-point shooting team. Auburn's a 37.5% three-point shooting team. Alabama's a 34% three-point shooting team, but they get so many more shots. Auburn's had 611 threes on the season. Alabama's had 715. So they've gotten 100 more shots, and they've made 19 more. but the 19 more means a few more points.
Right.
And that's how, you know, it's like they just possession, 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 possession. Auburn has been better at pass it around, get a better look, get a better shot, hit a higher percentage. But that's where Auburn's got to rebound. Last night, the thing is, it was crazy. It ended up pretty close, but Vandy had a big advantage. They out-rebounded Auburn over a stretch. At the end of the first half, start of the second half, they out-rebounded Auburn 13-2. And they had an 11-rebound lead, there in the early in the second half. before Auburn then turned things around. Mm-hmm. So Auburn cannot afford to let Alabama get second chances, second and third chances, or, you know, if Auburn misses a shot, it can't just be they're one and done.
Right.
So, I mean, they're going to have to really battle there. And Alabama's got length. Auburn has more girth. And when Auburn's got Janai and Dylan in the game, they've got decent length. But Janai is still, you know, he's not the Janai from before the injury. You have to hope that, he is, again, with between Tuesday night and Saturday, he's got time to try to hopefully get a little healthier.
Yeah,
they're going to need that.
Glad that he played on Tuesday night, like we've talked many times before. It's a big difference in Wednesday and being, you know, not too bad a road trip.
Oh, yeah, you're right. To Nashville's not. Yeah. All right, we'll get at least one more call in before our bottom of the hour break, and Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Let me turn the radio off. Okay. So I always enjoy listening to your last caller there because I don't know that much about basketball. I admire the athleticism, but I get a great education listening to you talk with him.
And, well, I appreciate that. Hopefully we help a little.
Anyway, my thing is back to the Super Bowl, which ties in with Auburn to some degree. If I had to describe the Super Bowl in one sentence, I'd say you can talk about the quarterback, you can talk about the play calling, but if you ain't got the line of scrimmage, you ain't got nothing. And that's pretty much what happened.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. And so that's been Auburn's problem the last few years. We're getting better, though. And projecting on into next season, what you thinking?
I think Auburn has a talented group on the defensive line. I still think they'd like to probably add another guy inside and another one outside. But last year, I think that they sort of went for numbers through in the transfer portal. I like the youngsters that they have brought in. But I think they've got some proven commodities there on the inside up front defensively. They still are looking, they'd like somebody else to either step up or find a proven commodity as far as somebody that can penetrate, create havoc in the backfield, like you were talking about that the Eagles did in the Super Bowl.
If we had a Nick Fairley.
Yeah.
Golly, yeah, that would be nice.
Four of them. The Eagles had four.
That's
next
what the
barely.
Eagles had. Well, I mean, and one of the things that a couple of people, you know, mentioned, and pretty easy to notice, a lot of former Georgia players. I mean, those Georgia defensive fronts that created so much havoc. The Eagles said, "Hey, let's see how these guys project to the NFL." Yeah. They've done pretty darn well.
Yeah.
That's the thing that sustained Georgia and Alabama over the last few years.
Is they
always
no
had
question.
This really consistent, solid. Offensive and defensive line.
Exactly.
They were just solid.
You're exactly right.
And that's what we need.
Yes, for
that's
sure.
That's what everybody would love to have.
Yeah, and I agree, Bill. I think we'd love to have two more guys somewhere. Mm-hmm. Inside guy and an outside guy. But I do like the young guys. But, yeah, you can't have enough of those, Yellow
Can't
Hammer.
Have too many.
You've got to have as many as you can
many.
Get.
You're talking about defense.
Yes,
sir.
Oh, yeah, they work so hard. They really do more than anybody else, I think.
Well, to get a pass rush and do what you want them to, you need at least, I think, six. And roll them in and maybe even more. Stay healthy. It's a long season.
Well, you'd love to be able to be in your third group
deep.
And
yeah,
feel like that you don't have a big drop-off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks.
Appreciate it, Yellowhammer.
Yeah.
All right. Since we're a little past the bottom of the hour, Ty – hang on. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Ty the Tiger's up when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Drew at the controls and right back to the Drive hotline. And Ty the Tiger's been hanging on for a few minutes. Ty, how are you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Just to add to that last caller's thing, I saw a meme or a picture on ESPN. It said the Eagles actually got 7 players from the 21 Georgia team, and actually 5 of them are still on the team, and then 3 of them actually start for Georgia. So that was kind of cool. I thought, like y'all were saying, that, you know, that defense actually showed up. But I just wanted to call and say that, you know, if you've watched the last 2 games of Auburn, Florida, and if you watched the last 2 games of Florida and Vanderbilt, and then you watched Alabama's last 2 games of Arkansas and Texas, Alabama's flying to the ball. Alabama is diving on the court, getting rebounds, getting loose balls, all of it. But we're not. And that's what killed us in Florida, because they were a good team. If Vanderbilt was better, then they might have beat us last night as well, because they got a lot of second chance shots, a lot of stuff. So, you know, that just to me, I think, is going to be the difference in the game. How many second chance does Bama get? How many does Auburn get? Are we flying to the ball? Are we hustling? Are we scrappy like we were when we started conference play? Are we going to be like today, you going to just sit around and watch? Because the last couple games, to me, that's kind of been our problem. And what we've been, you know, we've been giving teams way too much second chances. They're tipping the ball out. You know, that's our problem. And that's why we've kind of looked kind of shaky, in my opinion.
I do agree. I mean, it's hard for me to argue that. I mean, defense was the thing that really stuck out to me in the loss against Florida, and then saw it some last night. And again, I think a big part of it is CBM Chad, you know, not being able or not closing out the way you used to see him, just flying out at the guys about to shoot threes. I mean, Auburn has contested threes. Florida had way too many open shots. Vandy's a different team. They're not a three-point shooting team. It wasn't as obvious there. But, I mean, there was some defensive, you know, you saw guys getting beaten. And Auburn's been so good defensively at not allowing players to just get easy buckets. And you saw some really easy buckets for Vandy last night inside. Theirs weren't coming with threes. They were beating guys, and you'd have uncontested layups that you saw last night. You cannot be playing defense like that against Alabama, or they will pour on the points.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I will say that we can hang with Alabama that we hadn't been able to in the past is shooting the three.
Oh, yes.
You know, our guard play and our three-pointers, we have a higher percentage because we take less of the shots, but we're hitting them. You know, we were taking them last year and the year before, but we wasn't hitting.
No, Auburn's got so many different guys that can hit threes. I mean, Denver had been in a bit of a slump to last night, but Denver and Miles and, you know, Chad has struggled here the last couple of ball games. But, and Tahad, I mean, Auburn's got guys. And I think Chaney's – I like Chaney's three-point shot as well. I think they've got guys that can hit from the perimeter. Janai's struggling inside and out right now, and he's just gutting through and playing. And you got to have him. You just hope that he can get a little healthier with both the shoulder and the ankle.
Yeah, and I liked. I liked the Broom and Chaney Johnson on the floor together last night.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, I know Broom has done a lot this year with at the four with Caldwell at the five, but last night, I mean, you saw again, Broom wasn't hitting the shots or anything like that, but I mean, it was letting Chaney with a mismatch every play, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, he took advantage. And that kid is, I hate this is last year, but
may not be.
I mean. Yeah, is he one of the ones with the JUCO?
No, but he played at the smaller school. He played Division II, that's the latest ruling. So
that's right. So him, Baker Mazar, and I think Pegues will.
Denver played a year at junior college as well.
Okay, well then that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be exciting. And any Auburn fans wanting to go to a game this year, if you look at the ticket prices, if you're trying to go to the Alabama game in March, you can get a ticket to Coleman Coliseum, get a hotel room and gas money, and be cheaper than going to Neville Arena. So look it up and see if you want to go, and let's help fill that Coleman Coliseum with some Auburn people. And as always, guys, more damn Eagles.
All right, yeah, that's part of that is the difference. I mean, Alabama seats about holds about 5,000 more. Mm-hmm. That is a cavernous. And good for them. It's been filled a lot more this year than it had been. 334-321-1390. John is up next on the drive. Hey, John.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Doing good, man.
Always want to thank Pat and Dan and the good folks at the Sky Bar for paying for this hotline. I appreciate them. But I have one quick question for Coach Dunn. Hey,
yes,
Coach.
Sir.
You still in touch with Panunzio?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, it's crazy about that, John.
Talk to him today.
Yeah, he just mentioned
Eagles,
that to Brett.
Right?
Yeah, he is a special teams coach for the Super Bowl champ Eagles. He was doing great, and I talked to him, congratulated him, and he's doing really well.
Well, cool. I stayed in touch with him, but kind of lost when he went out over to Alabama.
Yeah.
I talked to too many people in Tuscaloosa.
I kind of lost touch with him, too, at that time. And he's doing good, and real happy for him. And he's been with him for a while, so that's quite an accomplishment to get that Super Bowl ring.
That's fantastic. And how about Jack Driscoll? Didn't he go to the Eagles?
Yeah, he was with them. He was injured, so he was on their injured list this past year. Yeah, he will get a ring.
Yeah,
that's cool. Because he came from, like, UMass or somewhere with some small school.
He came up from the North. Yeah, from the Northeast. It may have been UMass, but I knew it was from up in the Northeast.
Okay, I'm glad for him, too. But, all right, guys, well, thanks for the show. And it's been a great one today. And and Auburn High.
Well, yeah, how about that?
Girls play, I think, at 10:30 Friday, and then the varsity boys play at noon, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, I know they both play got the broadcast over on sister station, so yeah.
Thankfully, they've moved it back this year to Alabama State. You know, they quit doing it. They went to Garrett for a couple of years, and then a couple of years up outside of Birmingham or somewhere.
Well, I think it's because Alabama State just for some reason didn't want to do it for a couple of years. But you're right. I'm glad it's back there.
It's a lot easier when you don't have to get a hotel room
that.
So
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for the show.
Great hearing from you, John. Take care, man.
See you.
334-321-1390. That is the number to get you through here on the drive. Yeah, it's been a fun show here this afternoon. Of course, it doesn't hurt when you've got a matchup like this coming up.
Oh yeah,
on
Excitement,
Saturday.
Excitement plus a big win last night. So baseball starting, softball, everything.
Yeah, softball off to saying. I mean, off to a 5-0 start hitting more homers. It felt like last weekend than Auburn hit in a month. Last year, so the Malvo era off to a good start, but yeah, they will really be challenged because softball to this league, it's like almost like ratcheted up a bit from what basketball in this league is, which is insane.
When you add Oklahoma,
Texas,
yeah, two of the great.
I mean, those were the teams that played for the national championship last year.
Oklahoma's what, two in a row or three?
Yeah, they won. They may have three-peated.
Yeah.
I knew they'd won at least back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Texas was the other team. They were the number one team going in and lost in the championship series a year ago. And you've got so many SEC teams already ranked before you added those two in. It's getting to be like that in just about every sport in this league.
Yeah, just, you know. Basketball is insane. I was listening to them last night, you know.
Well, as they were talking about, 13, perhaps 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, those teams at the bottom. Again, I spent a little time with the Sandersons. And they're having fun looking ahead to this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Wimp's never seen anything
like
this kind of matchup.
Exactly.
I mean, because there's never been. But I think it's going to be difficult unless some of those teams down at the bottom of the league really can pull off huge upsets.
Yeah.
you know, you're looking at teams that could be 6-12 in the league, and that's going to be tough to get into a tournament. Yeah. I don't care how good your conference is when you're, you know, only winning one of every three in the league.
Yeah, it will be tough for sure.
I mean, as we look at the standings, we got, you know, got a couple of matchups in the league this evening. I talked about them a while ago, but I mean, you look at the standings right now, and Auburn and Alabama, you know, are starting to stretch things out in the league a little bit, both of them at 10-1, and then Florida and Texas A&M that we were talking about, they still are, you know, very, very much in the picture. It's going to be difficult to make up two games with as tough as this league is. They're 8-3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Texas A&M and then Ole Miss, 7-4. Missouri, who plays tonight, 6-4. Tennessee now, 7-5. They've got five. They're four games out in the loss column, four games back in the SEC race. Like we were saying earlier, I think they're done as far as being in the race for the conference title. But they're definitely in the postseason. I mean, they're a top 10 team, so they're going to be in the tournament. So, I mean, you can get down to around 10 teams and feel like, those teams are definitely going to be in. But, I mean, Arkansas now, you know, they're 3-7 in the league, and they've been a team that's right there when you're trying to talk about getting 13 teams in. Mm-hmm. You'd have to have you know, Texas, who's 4-8 in the league, and 15-10. They've got 10 regular season losses now, and 4-8 in the league.
Yeah.
It's getting tougher to say that they're in. Mm-hmm. And Georgia's right there with them, same boat, 4-8, and they're 16-9. Overall, so I don't know that the SEC is going to be able to get that 13 in. I feel pretty good around 10 or 11,
mm-hmm.
but they're just the losses start piling up, and I think that it's just more difficult to expect that you're going to be in if you're like 6-12 or something mm-hmm. in the league. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive. Experience.